Well, tonight we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm sure it's a very familiar passage to you, so let's go ahead and read. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for allowing us to read your word, to study it. Father, we just thank you for giving this opportunity. Father, we just want to ask now that you have blessed this message, that it would be from you, and Father, that it would impact our lives in a way that we need it today. Father, I love you, and I praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. So we find here in Luke chapter 5, it's a little bit of background, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were all frustrated. They'd been fishing all night long. They were tired. They were weary. And Jesus knew them. And we find this in John chapter 1, verse 35, where Jesus had already spoken with them. And they had gone and they had found where he stayed. And so Jesus had a familiarity with them. And so he stepped out into Simon's boat and he said, "I want to talk to these people. Push out a little bit from the shore." So he did. After he spoke, he said, "Go out a little bit farther for a catch." Now, think about this for just a second. Simon's a professional fisherman. Jesus is a carpenter. How in the world would you like for somebody that's not in your field to tell you to do something? Even though you'd worked all night long and you knew that there was nothing there, you weren't going to catch anything. Probably a little frustrated. The frustration that you had already probably made you a little bit frustrated more, because somebody that you didn't feel was worthy to tell you how to do stuff told you to go fish again. And so you can see Peter, he's going, "Oh great, a carpenter telling me, a professional fisherman." Peter initially says, "No, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything." But finally he concedes. And so in verse 1 we find it, "So it was, as the multitude passed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he said, 'Push out a little bit.'" Now you see, everything that Jesus does is on purpose. Everything. The boat, the man, the timing of the message, everything that happened right then, Jesus did on purpose. And when he got in the boat, he told Simon, he said, "Push out just a little bit. That's it. Just a little bit from the shore. Don't go too far right now. I need you to hear what I've got to say." If Peter had not followed this request, Peter would not have experienced what was going to happen. That's the thing about it, guys. We need to understand that when Jesus says, "Just go a little bit," if we don't follow that, we can't experience what we have later on down the road. Jesus told Peter, "Do this." And that was it. There was nothing else that came along with that. "Just push out a little bit. I'm going to stand in this boat and I'm going to talk." And so that's what Peter expected. Was Jesus using his boat as a pulpit. In verse 4 it says, "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" When he had stopped speaking to the crowd, when he stopped speaking to everybody that was there, he looked at Simon and he spoke to him. He started speaking to him and he said, "Push out even farther." See, Simon thought that he was in the boat with Jesus. He thought that it was his boat, Jesus was just borrowing it, and Simon became the captive audience at that time. We become a captive audience when we get alone with Jesus. That's where we need to be a lot of times in our life, is alone with Jesus and become the only person He is speaking to. See, Peter thought he had heard that all that Jesus had to say because he stopped speaking to the crowd. But there was more Jesus wanted to tell him, more that He wanted to show him. And maybe we need to get away from the crowd and listen. And that may be why we're in the middle of this craziness that we're in. To get us away from the crowd. To put us in a place where God can speak to us individually. The question is, are you listening? Did you listen to the small thing that He said, move away from here? Now He's got you in a place where it's all just you. Are you listening to Him? This is the beginning of what Jesus had to tell Peter. You see, in our lives, we have a beginning of what Jesus wants to tell us. And we've got to listen from the very beginning, all the way to the end. You know, if our children would do that, you know how great that would be? That if our children would listen to the very first thing we would say, they would see all the good things that could happen instead of the frustration that we feel when they don't listen to us. The simple things. That's what we have to start listening to. We've spent too much time focusing on the deep. We spend too much time on what we didn't accomplish when we were out there instead of listening to what Jesus has to tell us while we are there. God wants us to follow in frustration. How, you ask? It's simple. Follow Him. Just follow Him in the middle of the frustration. Listen to His words and follow Him. In verse 5 it says, "But Simon answered and said to Him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Your word, I will let down the net." Our frustration can cloud our ability to listen. In such a way where Simon was so frustrated with what didn't happen, he was arguing with Jesus. "Lord, I've been there. And nothing worked." And so that frustration kept him from actually hearing what Jesus wanted him to hear. And here's the deal. When we get past ourselves, we're able to follow. And in the middle of our frustration, we can hear God's gentle whisper. See, Jesus didn't say another word. He just said this. "Go into the deep." That's it. Just go there. He didn't say, "This is what's going to happen. Just go there and let down your net." You know, we let down our nets a lot. And we try to make sure that we can take care of everything that we get. But when Jesus says to do something, and we listen to Him, it's not us putting down the net. It's Jesus putting down the net. And we have to trust Him for that. And Peter said, "You know what? It didn't work for me, but at Your word." At Your word. No, that's all we need. At Jesus' word, if we just take it and follow it, we don't need to listen to the noise from the shore, the noise from our frustration, the noise in our heart. Just listen to God's word and what He tells us. God wants us to be faithful in frustration. How? Trust Him. Do you trust Him in your frustrations? Do you trust Him in everything that He has for us? In verse 6 it says, "And when they had done this, they caught a number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink." Wow, what a great example it is that following the word of Jesus can soothe your frustration. You see, Peter, James, John, all of those guys, they were frustrated because they didn't catch anything at all that night. And at Jesus' word, it all went away. It all went away. Peter responded to this success by sharing with others. He said, "Y'all come help me. Y'all come help me." And what he was doing was saying, "Y'all come see what Jesus had done. Y'all come share with me what He has provided." When Peter, in verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, God's power is great, and God's power shows us who we are. and how much we don't depend on Him in frustration. And Peter saw that in himself. Jesus did not leave when Peter said, "No, Lord, I've done this. I don't want to do this anymore." He didn't walk away. He was still there. He's still there for you. He died for Peter, and He died for you, and He died for me. Even in our frustration and the times that we look at Him and say, "Father, I can do this on my own," He still shed His blood for you. He still died for you. He still wants you to understand how much He loves you. And for those of you who know Him as your personal Savior, He wants you to share Him. And in the middle of your frustration, He wants you to be fruitful. How's that? Just share Him. Share Jesus. I see that's what Peter did. He shared the man who changed his frustration into hope and gladness. In verse 9 it says this, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to him, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" God's power can be overwhelming. We can see the things that God is doing even now in this mess, this craziness that we call life right now. And we can see Him working. And it's overwhelming sometimes because we don't understand exactly how He's doing it, why He's doing it. But He is. God's still on His throne. Let us never forget that. Jesus was there. I want us to understand something right now. Simon realized throughout all of this that he thought that he was in the boat with Jesus. But Jesus was always in the boat with him. And that's where He is with us today. He's always in the boat with us. In verse 11 it says, "So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him." They forsook everything. They left the boats there. They left the nets there. I don't see where they did anything with the fish. That thing that they counted precious to them, that they were frustrated about, they left. You see, value is where we place it. Peter and all the rest of the fishermen, they had value on fish. In the deep, it was on the fish. On the land, now it has become on Jesus. That's where their value is placed, on Jesus. When did they start to follow Jesus? Was it when Jesus said, "Follow me"? They started following Jesus when their focus changed. When their change went from the fish to Jesus. That's when they started changing it. When their frustration went from the fish to seeing the power of Jesus. That's when they started following Him. And the same thing is with you and I. We get past the frustration, and our focus changes on all the good things and the love that Jesus has. We start following Him. And we start listening to Him. The four left what was valued and followed what is of value. And I hope you understand that. There's things in our life that we value so much. But the only true thing, the only true person to value is Jesus Christ and His shed blood for us. They value Jesus above all else. God wants us to focus in frustration. How? By valuing Him. The Lord doesn't always bring our frustration to an end on our schedule. Man, I would like for all my frustrations just to be gone today. But it's on God's schedule. It's on the ability for us to listen to what He has for us. But if you have something in your life that you wish wasn't there, that has caused you any kind of frustration, I can guarantee you four things. The Lord wants you to understand these things. Number one, how great is your need for His pardon? Each and every one of us needs Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's how we start listening to Him. That's how we realize that He is the one who is in control, as we accept Him as Savior. The second thing is, He wants us to see how great His power is. Just like Peter, Peter didn't really understand until God showed him who He was. God's power is great. His resurrecting power is what I'm looking forward to, because that is why He came, to make sure I had life eternal and a life that is with Him. The third thing is how vital it is to share His love. See, Peter understood that. Not only did he share the catch, but he spent the rest of his life sharing who Jesus was. Jesus changes our life. Why keep it to ourselves? Share it. And the fourth thing that he wants you to understand, it's how vital it is to value Him above all else. I challenge you this week to take those things that you think are the most preeminent in your life, the things you can't live without, and give them to Jesus. Give them to Him and let Him show you that His life is the most vital thing that we can have. Let us take these lessons from Peter. Let us take these lessons of just listening to Him. And maybe even if we're pushed out to the deep and we're the captive audience, that we hear Him more clearly this week. Guys, I hope you all have a great evening, and I look forward to the time that we can be together. And I hope to see you soon.